like for us to read tonight from Deuteronomy chapter 20. Deuteronomy chapter 20. We're going to be considering the subject of fainting tonight. Oftentimes, in God's Word, He admonishes us to faint not. And this is one of those passages. Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 1. When thou goest out to battle against thine enemies. Have any enemies? The worst one's the one that you live with, isn't it? And seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou. Be not afraid of them. For the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. The Lord has delivered you from the taskmasters of the law, and the enemy has no power. And it shall be, when you are come nigh unto the battle, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people. That's our hope, isn't it? That our high priest would speak to us in the midst of our battles. And shall say unto them, Hear, O Israel, you approach this day into battle against your enemies. Let not your heart faint. Fear not. Do not tremble. Neither be you terrified because of them. Why? For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies and to save you. The battle's not yours, it's the Lord's. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we're so hopeful that you would speak to our faint hearts. And give to us, Lord, the faith to believe your promises and to find our strength in Christ. We pray that you would turn our hearts to him and that we would find him to be our conqueror, our victor, the one who has defeated all our enemies. Lord, that the hope we just sang about would be real to our hearts, that we would be comforted by Christ, that we would be assured of your mercies and your grace toward us for his sake. And Father, we pray for Terry, and we thank you for the success of the surgery that she had. And Lord, we ask that you would comfort her. We pray that you would calm her heart. We pray, Lord, that you would give her your peace and that you would give her the strength to recover from this surgery. We pray for Marianne and for Rich and Jerry, and ask, Lord, that you would give them the grace that they need to tend to Terry in these days. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
Number 58 from the Heart Act.
It's been such a blessing to have Daryl and Joyce and Bob and Carla with us these past 4 or 5 weeks, and hate to see them leave, but tonight's their last night for a while with us, so get to go back to cold country. We're so blessed that y'all have been here with us. I got to thinking about this subject of fainting from our text in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, if you'd like to turn with me there in your Bibles. And I was intrigued by the subject, having experienced many, many times in my life, fainting. Just part of my makeup. You have low blood pressure and low blood sugar together, it just happens, and it's something that I've experienced all my life from a teenager. And the similarities between fainting physically and fainting spiritually. You have your Bibles open to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I have found myself to be faint spiritually many, many more times than I have found myself to be faint physically. And I'm so thankful for our Lord's words on this subject, because it's of great comfort and encouragement to our hearts, those who experience this weakness of fainting. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not." And then down in verse 16 of the same chapter, "For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." If you've ever experienced fainting, you'll know what some of the symptoms are. Starts with a lightheadedness, you get blurred vision, slurred speech, confused thought, an inability to stand, and a need to quickly sit down. That's really kind of what happens when we get faint spiritually, isn't it? We get confused in our thinking. Our vision of Christ gets blurry. We don't speak so clearly. And we're in need of finding our rest in Christ. Fainting in and of itself is not really threatening physically for most folks. It's not been for me. The only problem with fainting is that if you don't recognize the symptoms and you lose consciousness in a standing up position, you can hurt yourself very severely when you fall. And so my hope tonight is that the Lord will help us to be aware of our spiritual condition. People that aren't, I was talking to Marvin Stoniker the other day, and he fainted twice, never fainted before in his life. And just a couple of weeks ago, he had a couple, and he fell. I mean, he didn't know what was coming on. He didn't know the symptoms. He wasn't aware of them, and he just fell out. Fortunately, he didn't hurt himself. But if you're aware of your body, and you know the symptoms, you know what's happening, then you can control it. If you're aware of your spiritual state, if you've got some spiritual sensitivity, then you can become aware of the symptoms of becoming spiritually faint, lest you fall and hurt yourself severely. Now, the cause for fainting, physically and spiritually, is the same. It's a lack of blood flow to the brain. That's the cause of fainting. And when we get our eyes off of Christ, and we're not rejoicing in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have not our thoughts fixed on Him, we can become faint, can't we? Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 40. Look at verse 28. "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. He's never had that weakness, has he? He's never had that problem, spiritually or physically. He fainteth not. There is no searching of his understanding. He's not like us. He's holy. He's other than we are. We find ourselves faint so often, but not so with him. He giveth power to the faint. Aren't you glad? And to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Oh, if the Lord gives us the grace to recognize the symptoms of becoming spiritually faint, and through that acknowledgement gives us the grace to call upon him, to rest in him, to wait on him, to rely upon his strength, he'll keep us from falling. He'll return the flow of blood to our hearts and enable us to be strong in Christ. David said in Psalm 27, verse 13, he said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Why do we come here? This is the land of the living, isn't it? The world's dead. The people of this world have no spiritual life. And we come here because we are faint, because we are weak, because we are afraid of falling, and we're in need of his strength. David said, I had fainted until I came in to the land of the living, and then my strength was renewed. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Aren't you thankful for Hebrews chapter 11 and how the Lord speaks of those saints of old in Hebrews chapter 11? He never mentions the times when they fainted. He never mentions the times when they were weak. He never mentions the times when they faltered. Hebrews chapter 11 represents, or is a picture of, these believers as they were seen by God in Christ. And that's really how they are. And that's how we are. And so with all the stumbling and all the fainting and all the weak of heart and all the dizziness and the blurred vision and the need to sit down and rest, they're represented in Hebrews chapter 11 as men and women who fainted not. And that's how God sees his people. Look at chapter 12. Wherefore, in light of this, seeing we also are compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses. Oh, we have the encouragement of knowing that these troubles are what every believer has ever experienced, and yet these are the witnesses who gave witness to Christ and his strength, and were found not having their own righteousness, but they were found in Christ having his righteousness. Wherefore we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. What is the sin that doth so easily beset us? Somebody reads this, they say, well, one person's got this weakness and another person's got that weakness. No, unbelief is the cause of all sin. It's the seedbed from which all sin grows. It's the fountain of all unbelief. All sin is founded in unbelief. That's the sin that does so easily beset us. It's taking our eyes off of Christ, isn't it? And so he says, lay aside that sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. Looking to Christ. Setting our affections on Him. Believing that He is our righteousness, and that He is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. That God's pleased with Him, and that our acceptance before God is in Him. We're accepted in the Beloved. We're just like these saints that are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, aren't we? We're just like they were in our fleshly existence in this world and all the problems that unbelief brings into our lives, and we're just like them in Christ, perfect before God. Looking unto Jesus, the author, the one who devised the purpose of salvation for God's people, the one who established the covenant of grace before the world began, the one who offered himself to the Father in that covenant as the Lamb that was slain before the foundations of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the one that keeps us from falling, presents us faultless before the throne of God. He's the one that continues to enable us to acknowledge and recognize our symptoms of being faint, and keeps bringing us back to Himself, doesn't He? One thing I know about a child of God, they won't fall away. They can't. He won't let them. He just keeps bringing them back to Himself. And so he says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Oh, the Lord, in perfect obedience to the Father, was rewarded for his work by being restored to his rightful place at the right hand of the Majesty on high. The Word of God did not return to God void, did he? He returned with the names of those for whom he lived and died. And he's seated as our advocate with the Father right now. So that's who we look to. Our hope in our faint condition is to look to Christ. And when we do that, what happens? For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Oh, if the Lord gives us the grace to look to Christ, we'll avoid the fall that fainting would bring. Now, one of the things I want you to see, the first thing I want you to see, I guess, before we look at my main points, is that our Lord has compassion toward the faint. He has compassion towards the faint. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 15. He remembers that we're made of dust. Aren't you glad? He knows our weaknesses. He knows how faint we are. He knows how prone we are to wander. He knows how easy it is for us to take our eyes off of Christ and for the blood to not flow to our minds as it ought to, and how blurred things become for us and how confused we get. He understands that. And he's compassionate towards us. Look at Matthew chapter 15 at verse 32. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. These are my children. They're sitting in they've been listening to me. They've been following me. They've left everything for me. And they're hungry. They need to be fed. And I have compassion on them, lest they faint in the way. Look at Matthew chapter 9 at verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. He's still doing that, isn't he? He's still doing that. He's still healing our diseases and our sicknesses. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Do you find yourself faint of heart? Do you find yourself having blurred vision? You don't see things clearly. You get confused. You can't speak right. And you're weak. You're in need of sitting down. The Lord is compassionate towards them. You see, the unbeliever would say, no, that's not my problem. I can take care of things myself. And the problem is they just fall headlong into destruction, don't they? And don't even know it. Don't even know it. Well, 4 points very quickly in the New Testament about fainting. The first one we've already read in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where the Lord speaks, where Paul speaks of not fainting in the ministry of the gospel. Turn back with me there to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, God's given us a ministry. What is the ministry? It's the declaration of the gospel. It's heralding the truth about who Christ is and about what he's done to save his people, about who he is now as their advocate before the Father, their righteousness. So we're that's our ministry. That's our calling, and we've received it by mercy. Only by the grace of God would we have any understanding of this or any ability to believe it or to declare it. And he says, seeing that we've received this ministry by God's mercy, we faint not. Oh, how many times we get weak in the ministry of the gospel. How many times we feel like quitting. We feel like, you know, there's nothing happening. There's nothing, you get discouraged. How many times you and I have been faint in our opportunities to declare the ministry of the gospel to people we should have spoken to, and we didn't. Why? Because we were faint. Look at verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Oh, this outer man, he's getting weaker and weaker, isn't he? He's falling apart. I got duly humbled today. I heard that Don Fortner had asked his 12-year-old grandson who it was that preached for them in Lexington the Sunday before last. And Don Fortner's grandson said, Poppy, I don't know. He was just an old man with gray hair. Well, that's me. Oh, the outward man perisheth, doesn't he? But the inward man, and the more we grow in grace and the knowledge of Christ, the more we become aware of the symptoms of spiritual fainting, and the more we see our need to rest in Christ, to sit down and to give attention to the ministry of the gospel, the person of Christ, and to rejoice in that shed blood which is a covering for all our sin. He's our hope, isn't he? Do you faint? I hope you never have to deal with physical fainting, but if you're a believer, I know you faint. Turn with me to Luke chapter 18. Prayer for the child of God is to the soul what breathing is to the body. And how we're admonished of the Lord to pray without ceasing, to seek His face, to be to pray with importunity, to not quit, to not fail, and yet how shameful we are in how little we pray as we ought. And here the Lord says in Luke chapter 18, verse 1, "And He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." Lord, I've become so faint. You know, He goes on to tell the parable of the unjust judge and the widow. And in the parable, the Lord says that the judge would not listen to the widow's request. And yet, because she was persistent, because she wouldn't quit asking, He finally gave in. He said, "This judge, though he feared not God and regarded not men, yet because of the importunity of this widow, he went ahead and gave her what she asked for." Now, is the Lord comparing Himself to that judge? No, He's contrasting Himself to that judge. He said, if a judge will do that because of the importunity of a widow, how much more will your Heavenly Father, who loves you, respond to you when you pray? Oh, Lord, set my heart to pray. Cause me, Lord, to pour out my soul to you in prayer and to not faint in prayer. You know, we become so independent, don't we? Somebody said, well, you know, there's nothing left to do but pray. The only time you really ever pray is when there's nothing else to do but pray. If there's anything else to do, you're going to do it. Prayer is always a last resort. And how situations demand us to see how they really are desperate and how we do need to pray more and faint not. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3. A lot of references to fainting in the scriptures, aren't there? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12. In whom, Jesus Christ our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. That's our boldness, isn't it? Our boldness is not in the fact that, well, we're stalwart, we don't faint, we've got great faith, we can just rush into the presence of God. No, our boldness and confidence is by the faith of Him. He was faithful to the Father. What was the last thing the Lord Jesus Christ said on Calvary's cross to us was, "It is finished." But that wasn't the last thing He said. The last thing He said was to the Father, wasn't it? "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And to His dying breath, He was faithful to God. He believed God with all of His heart, all of His mind, and all of His soul. And His faithfulness is our access, and it is our boldness. Lord, I don't know about my faith, but I do know Your faith was perfect. And if I've got any access into the presence of God, it will be by the faith of Jesus Christ. "Wherefore, I desire that you faint not at my tribulations." Oh, so many tribulations, aren't there? so many adversities, so many adversaries, not the least of which is our own easily besetting sin of unbelief. But we wrestle against principalities too, don't we? We've got spiritual powers fighting against us. We've got a world that we live in that is contrary to everything we believe, everything we love. This world is at enmity with God. It hates God. And here we are, sojourners and strangers in a foreign land. There's lots of tribulations, aren't there? Faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Now, Paul's speaking of his own tribulations, but this is true of all of our tribulations. It's our glory that we would find great hope and comfort in knowing that God is working all things together for good for them who love him and those that are the called according to his purpose. For which cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with the might by his Spirit. Lord, you see the symptoms of being faint. Remember what you, if you've ever experienced them, you know what they are. And if you experience them a lot, you know when they're starting. You get dizzy, you get blurred vision, you can't think straight, you can't speak right, you can't stand up. And this is where, Lord, I need your strength. I need your Spirit to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. You remember the outer man's perishing, but the inner man's renewed day by day. He's becoming stronger in his trust in Christ. He's not becoming stronger in his ability. He's becoming more confident in Christ as he becomes more aware of his own inability. His strength is made perfect in my weakness. So the believer who's growing in grace is becoming weaker and weaker and more sinful and more dependent upon Christ. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ. Oh, to know his love. To experience his love. Remember, he has compassion towards the faint. He saw the multitude, and he had compassion upon them. They were like sheep without a shepherd. They were without food. They were in need of him to care for them. Which passeth knowledge. Lord, why would you love me? Why would you love me? Jacob I loved. Esau I hated. I can understand that better than I can understand how God would love me. That he might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him, to God, who is able. His ability is only found in our inability. That's it. Now God, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. See, here we are 2,000 years removed from when these words were penned, and it's exactly the same today as it was then. Nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. Your life, your experience, your faint-heartedness, your struggle with prayer, your temptations, your tribulations, your thoughts sometimes of just giving up on everything, it hadn't changed. Second Thessalonians chapter 3. verse 11. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies, troublemakers, rabble-rousers, stirring up division and dissension in the church, which God hates. Now them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. In other words, stop this divisive talk within the body of Christ, and tend to their own responsibilities. But ye brethren, be not faint. That's the word there. You see, be not weary in well doing. Don't be faint. Just keep doing it. So I'm tired of being on the giving end all the time. Faint not. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Yes, you just keep giving. He said, don't be faint in well doing. This is pleasing to God. And if we do it, you know, if we're doing it for the approval of men or for the reward that comes from men, then we'll faint. We'll give up. But if we do what we do as unto the Lord, you suppose there's anything that any of his children have ever done to his glory that he didn't recognize? That he wasn't pleased with, he didn't take note of? Never. Never. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 6. Verse 9. Let us not faint in well-doing. Let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially those who are of the household of faith. Oh, that the Lord would, as faint as we get sometimes in doing things for others, that God would cause us to do it with joy and give us the grace to not be faint. To not be faint in the ministry of the gospel, to not be faint in prayer, to not be faint in tribulation, to not be faint in well-doing, to wait upon the Lord and have him renew our strength, that we be mounted up with wings as eagles and run and not be weary, walk and not faint, not faint. And we naturally get faint. There's no question about that. But if the Lord gives us grace to recognize the symptoms of being spiritually faint, then we'll sit down and we'll rely upon him to return the blood to our minds and give us the strength of Christ to be faithful to the end. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we're so very thankful that you are a God of mercy and compassion towards those who are faint of heart. We ask, Lord, that you would give us the grace to recognize our own weaknesses, to quit relying and depending upon our own strength so often, to rest in Christ, and to rejoice in what his shed blood has done, putting away our sin and making us perfect in your sight. Lord, cause us to not faint till we fall, We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. All right, let's stand together, Brother Tom. 119 in the softback hymnal.